Yep, good. All right. I hope to read more than one passage of scripture. For many I might refer to as we go on with Lord's goodness. I don't know. I mean, that's what we read. But I want to read, in any case, from the fifth chapter of Judges, verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, the avenger of Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord, and I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even at Sinai, from before the Lord God of Israel, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war between the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? Turn over to the New Testament, please. I think we'll read a verse or two, I don't know, from the 19th John. Verse 25, John 19. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then said he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." From that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. I want to read the epistle that was referred to by Mr. Thurston this afternoon. I read it all. The second epistle of John. John's second epistle, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, it is within us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found in thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this as well, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Many deceivers have entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver, an antichrist. Look to yourselves, and we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face with our joy may be full. Children, my elect sister, Lady, amen.
Service of the Spirit of God. Moment, dear brother, I hope you
heaven, and I'm just speaking by the way. When we get to the end of the book of God, the last reference, as far as I know, and I don't know everything by any means, I might be wrong in this, you can check on it. As far as I can think, the last reference to a mother is in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. And what is said of her is this: mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Just think of it. Genesis. Somebody here will tell us that Genesis is the seed plot of the Bible. And he will tell us that we can expect, of course, in Revelation to see the seeds full grown. Well, thank God we do. But there's always that counterfeiting activity of the opposer, the devil's at work, to counterfeit, by counterfeiting, to oppose the mothering activity of God. You know, we all need mothering. And so, I just, as I say, saying these things, by the way, Revelation, the mother of harlots. It's the confirmation of that which is spirit, that which is foul, that which is defiling. And it's all headed up in a system. It's called Babylon. Babylon is shaping today. I don't say it's shaping around us. When Daniel prayed, he prayed as being part of the prayer. You might say that about other bodies in the Old Testament. When they prayed in the spirit of confession, and confession is a necessity to Babylon, those who pray as being part of the prayer. It's called for confession in the presence of God. Now, I've read these words in religious, not with any ability to, or intention of expounding these verses to some of Deborah. I've read them because she arose as a mother in Israel. Oh, thank God for any answer to the character of mothers amongst the people of God. What I want to speak about, especially of course tonight, really actual mothers in the Christian company. Deborah says here in her song, praise you the Lord. What a wonderful thing for a mother. Mother in Israel. In a day of awful failure, day when all should be despondent, she says, praise ye the Lord. Think of the praise of God, Deborah. Well, she says, I read this line, if you don't mind, a little more, perhaps textually accurately. Praise ye the Lord, for that leaders led in Israel. What a wonderful thing when leaders lead. What a blessed thing that a mother amongst the people of God would take account, as she did, with praise on her lips, stemming from her heart's affections of leaders that led. We need leaders who will really lead. And leaders in Scripture, Hebrews 13, obey them. Obey them, but take the lead among you. The way that rule is exercised amongst the saints of God in Scripture is not by saying, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. It's by walking along the pathway of obedience to the word of God and saying to his brethren behind him, this is the way, walk ye in it. And she says here, praise ye the Lord, that leaders led in Israel. So We're going to dwell on this. Verse 7. Or just before we reach verse 7, I should say at the end of verse 6. The highways were unoccupied. I have heard this spoken of once in my life. I'm not going to repeat what I heard because of what I said. I believe, dear brethren, that the condition of things existent in the sphere, in the regard to which Deborah was singing her song, were days of the, how do I describe it? To use modern language, in the background, modern happenings, there were days of vandalism, there were days of violence, there were days of delinquency, there were days of rebellion, days of disobedience. People were afraid to use the highways. We are living in a state of things today when people are afraid in the cities anyway. Where are they? To go out at night? We had two sisters came out of the gospel meeting one night. Set on by two thugs, 30 yards from the meeting room, robbed. It's the kind of thing that happens in the cities, you see. And that kind of thing was happening here. Reminds me that when you get into the New Testament, man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. Not concerned with the man himself. The condition of things that was rampant even then, when our Lord was here. In other words, always been a bad place to live in, since the fallen man. And it will always be a bad place to live in until the assertion of the rights of God in the man of his counsel. But at this time that Deborah is describing in a song, she says the highways were unoccupied. She also says the travelers went by crooked ways. See, they had to evade what was wrong. They had to evade the executors, violence, and all that kind of thing. The thieves, pillagers, and so on. Conditions were very bad indeed. And you might say, well, how has such a case or such a state arisen amongst the people of God? She says in verse 7, the leaders ceased. Translation of that word villagers, I'm just going for Mr. Garvey's translation, not in his text, the written text, but in his footnotes. I'm not here. Mr. Garvey speaks and he says that word for villagers should be translated leaders. She celebrates at first the remembrance of days when the leaders dead. And then she laments when the leaders ceased. Oh, we are the leaders today. Every one of us who got any history, I've got 49 and a half years history in the meetings now behind me. I can remember those who led. I can remember those who led wisely, led orderly. I can remember those who led in right paths. I remember that they led because they always directed us. Not to expediency, not to compromise, they led us to the plain statements of the Word of God. Both the leaders like that, imitate their faith. This was said in Paris, that kind of faith produces right kind of living, you know. And the issue of it is that you'll not idolize your leaders. Don't idolize them, you know. It's when you idolize men that you get astray. Because if they will be idolized, they are astray themselves. They can only lead you astray. And imitate their faith. Considering the issue, their manner of life. As you do that, you lift your eyes off them. You look at Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today. and forever. So the state of things in Deborah's day was in a very good way. Thank God, as a mother of this in Israel, she stepped into the breach and she had the spur of a brother to come along beside her. Don't stay any longer there. I just want to touch on John's Gospel. And with the reply to verse 9 and 8 and 4, you don't need to turn to it. I'm just going to read it out. If you want to, possibly. His mother, you know it all. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. This is true motherhood in exercise. Urging those who are in the position of servants, and we are all in that position. There will be no agonizing for men that we appreciate that we are all in this position, born slaves of Jesus Christ. She said to the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Notice that? It was the mother who said it. I'm not concerned with the background at the moment. I'm concerned with this, that it was a true motherly exercise to direct them to the Son of God, to say to them, whatsoever he said to you, do it. Oh, dear brethren, they're very simple words, very plain words, very needed words. The principle of obedience is absolutely essential amongst us. We are going to go on together, humbly behold, how good and how pleasant it is to brethren to dwell together in unity. And we'll only go on dwelling together in unity as we hear his voice, his commandment, and do it. I don't need to enumerate the commandments of the Lord. Scripture enumerates them. We need to be Bible students. Not international Bible students, Bible students. Get into the Word. Oh, young brothers and sisters, you would need the exhortations of Scripture if you were privately in your life going on in communion with your blessed Lord, because you'll only go on in communion with them if you love him, and you only love him if you're made conscious of the fact that he loves you. My beloved, is my, oh, it's a very blessed statement. It's blessedly true that where that is experienced and consciously confessed, there's the exercise of the drawing power. You can't give away. Can't keep away from him. Talk about meetings. Can't keep away from him. You don't go to any meetings, I know. They bring you to the meetings. You're able to come at all. But you can't stay away from him. If anything comes in between you and him, you'll feel it quickly and acutely. But the great thing for us is, are we listening for his voice? Whatsoever he said unto you, we know if you hear his voice, and if you respond in obedience to it, you will also hear him say to you, assembly wise, now for a moment, assembly wise, let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance is comely. Boy, you young brethren, we heard the Lord say, let me hear thy voice. Why is it, Lord's day after Lord's day, you can't even give a hymn out? Why is it, Lord's day after Lord's day, You never feel that impelling, compelling, drawing power to get on your feet and say, Lord, we thank thee. Whatever you might say. Why? It's a question, of course, on the human. But it needs to be raised in your soul's history before the Lord. Meetings are declining. Gatherings are reducing. Voices are being silenced. Brothers are going off. Godly women going off. Dolent. And the young man. Young sister. What are you going to do? You step forward? Are you in principle going to be baptized for the dead? Are you going to be baptized in view of the dead? Will it be the dead Christ? The dead brethren? You're going to come forward, fill the ranks. Oh, there's not only room for you, there's need for you. And because there's need for you, there is room for you. But you never step forward until you come under that irresistible attraction of that supernatural love of Christ. And that tells the story of the cross. So I go to chapter 19, John's Gospel. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by him, he said unto his mother. There were appreciative feelings in the heart of our blessed Lord in regard to his mother. I don't say any more about it, I can't. But it's true. Every human sensibility was developed. I don't know if it's right to use the word developed in English at all. But every human sensibility was there in action in our blessed Lord. One of those perfections was his feelings for his mother. Mother was appreciated. It just went in my mind, you'll pardon me alluding to this. An Irish woman, many years of the drink in her past, spent, I don't know, 30 to 40 years in an old jail, drunkenness. And she was telling some people how the Lord had saved her. She got her eye on some young men and some young women. And she said to them, oh, she says, if you've got a mother, cherish her with care. These are old words. That the man I was a boy didn't know the process. Because you'll never miss her till you see the vacant chair. And that leads me to draw attention to the fact that the wise man in the book of Proverbs, he says, forsake not the Lord thy mother. You know, the mother has so much to do with the family. More than the father does, you know. He's at his job all day. If he was like me, he'd be out of the house by 6 o'clock in the morning, nearly every day of his working night. He would never be back sometimes till, well, 5:30, one time, 6:30, sometimes 8 o'clock. Don't say much of your family. They're in bed when you go out. They're in bed when you come in. It's the mother who has so much to do with children, especially in the formative years of their lives. What a blessed thing for the mothers to be in the way of obedience themselves to the voice of their Lord, so that they can, as this mother we're going to draw attention to now in John's second epistle, bring them up in the language of Ephesians, or the Lord addressing the fathers in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The worthiest feelings, the holy sensibilities in our blessed Lord that appreciated his mother. And though they're crucified, looked at her, he looked upon his mother, and he looked upon the disciple whom he loved, and he said, as we read there, "Woman, behold thy son," and the disciple, "Behold thy mother." He cared for her, he made provision for her. And that disciple took her, as we read here, to his own home, not into the home circle, you see. The Lord valued the home circle. We could have spoken all night tonight about home circle scenes, just as our brother Brian reminded us last night. There's so much to say about the Lord's entry into the home circle, around thy house, as we heard in perhaps the first prayer meeting here. It's a principle that runs right through the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. John had a house. He had a home for the house. He had a home to which the mother of our Lord could be happily welcomed into. So I go over to John's epistle. I can't, of course, speak about every verse in the Second Epistle of John. The elder unto the elect greeting. How gentlemanly John was in addressing this lady, young brother, young sister, oh, be respectful to your mother. Remember, especially you who've been brought up in Christian homes, remember, although he may never have been aware of it, or he might just be becoming aware of it, you're indebted to your mother especially for so much that you know of the Lord. I knew a young man, and he was in a certain situation where a so-called minister of the gospel was being questioned to such an extent that he was in a dilemma, tied into knots, so this young man said. And he thought, well, poor fellow, I'll try and help him out. And he said to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And this parson looked at him with amazement. He says, "Come to church. You have to say a prayer. You have to change your mode of living. You have to be good." Well, the young man says, "Bible doesn't say that." "Oh," said the parson, "what do you know about the Bible?" He says, "Not much. You don't know that much." He says, "What does the Bible say?" He says, "If thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." See the point in a minute. I'm just telling you this story, it's true, you know. Parson says, "That's not the Bible." No, he says it is. I know, he says, he went away and got a Bible. And he came back. He said, "There you are. Show that to me in the Bible, and I'll believe it." And the man said to his mother, and he's relating this to her, said, "You know, mother," he said, "just at that very moment, couldn't think where it was. And I put my hand up to take the Bible," and he says, "what am I going to do?" And he says, "just then, flashed into my mind, Romans 10:9, you know, it's a favorite verse of God. Confessing Christ as Lord, I'm saved. I'm followed by. So Romans 10 and 9. Well, good long story short. The parson sent to him eventually. Where did you learn that? He says, I learned it at my mother's knee. Oh, you're indebted. You know, you're a woman. Poor treasurer, listen to her. Forsake not. Oh, my mother. You read, I can't remember whether it's chapter 5 or chapter 6 o'clock. But just read it. Say the wonderful things that ensue from hearkening to that chapter in the book of Proverbs. So here, you elect lady and her children. Oh, this was a godly woman. I think she was a widow. And I'll tell you why I think she was a widow. Not just because the letter was written to her, but further down, verse 10, without going into it at the moment, receive him not into your house. She was in charge of the house. Obviously, she either had no husband available then, or, when I say not available then, I believe she was widowed. Or it may be that he may have been away on a journey, I don't know. But there's none of the fact the care of the house and the family is resting upon her. So the apostle says here, to which in the he says, whom I love in the truth, doesn't mean that I love her truly, doesn't mean that. It means what he says, I love her in truth. And he describes to us in the body of this letter just what the truth's all about. Love and the truth. And he says, I'm not the only one either. All they do who have known the truth. It's a blessed thing to know the truth objectively. To have it set before you, paraded before your heart and your mind, and you say, that's great. But then he says here, verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. And that's transferring it from the picture on the wall, writing it upon your affections. The truth brought in and wrought into your soul in the power of the Spirit of God. For you, children of godly mothers, don't be content listening to the Bible stories, blessed as they are. Make them your own. The way to get them into you, though, initially is trust Christ as your Savior. Confess Him as your Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Commit to her thy way unto the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Oh, there's something in Christ that surpasses anything and everything in this poor, empty world. And as the woman said, is embodied in the song that was written to commemorate it. She says, I am Christ. What won't I? Oh, it's blessed it too, you know. And so here, the truth was transferred, in a sense, from the scriptures written in the heart. Now then, now that it goes, I have a tent. The scripture says here that if the mother wants to be, or if this kind of mother was and wanted to be, she needs help, you know. The mother needs help. Where would you get it? The Lord says, John, grace be with you. Get the sense into your heart, dear Christian mother, of the favor of God, who is blessed. Maybe the Lord might need somebody else to open these things up. Get the sense into yourself. the favor of God. Think of God favoring you, favoring me. The man in the Old Testament says, dead don't like me. Aye, but the loving kindness of God, the shield will not like him. And I'll tell you something else. With such as these, one day, are going to be transferred from earth to glory, and the heavens are going to be opened, you know, and God is going to set Christ forth, and he's going to set him forth in the midst of holy myriads, and as he is set forth, every eye of every intelligence in the universe is going to be turned heavenward to that blessed emerging scene, Christ in the midst of the holy myriads. And when they look at them, they're going to say, how did they get there? They should have been down there. How did they get there? Oh, the exceeding riches. Oh, his loving kindness. Oh, his mercy. How real it must be. How great it must be to bring that about for such as you and me. And so here, she needs grace. Grace that lifts the heart of the mother above the humdrum of everyday life, gives her to taste the blessedness of that sphere that these things cannot invade. But in the sphere where the humdrum does exist, he says here, mercy. Mercy that meets you just where you are, in every circumstance of the way. Oh, dear Christian sisters and families, bring up, there's mercy to help you along the way. There's not only grace, the sense of favor. There's not only mercy to supply you in your need. There's a blessed outcome of it, enjoyed in the soul, perfect tranquility of spirit, peace, he says, peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. He speaks from family of his imperial regal splendor when he speaks of him in the sweetness of his abounding love and a dying relationship with the Father, the Son of the Father. But oh, may the Lord grant Christian mother, go on, where there's need for Christian mothers to bring up their children in this blessed fashion, so that John, so that Paul, so that the brethren and the doctor, and elsewhere can say, your children in the truth, walking in the truth. What a blessed thing. See families happily united in the bonds of truth and love under the care of true mothers in the Israel of God.